Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Well, you know the deal on Thursdays during football season. That means Thursday night football. And the NFL really takes center stage now. NBA, NHL, and now Major League Baseball all done for a good long while. And so it's football show. And tonight, Thursday night football, of course, we get ready for that. And as we do, we get ready for week 8 of the National Football League. And we go out on the Swartz-Cullerton guest line. If you're injured at work, get Justice. Call Swartz-Cullerton at 800-JUSTICE. Talk some fantasy football with our buddy Paul Charchin.
Brought to you by the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. New users, download the app or go to parxcasino.com/PA. Use the promo code GREEN. For your first bet, risk-free up to $500, you must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, and right as I'm literally just about to go to Paul, I see that his phone line just dropped. John, I think that the rain is playing, causing havoc with the phone lines.
Really?
It seems like people have been distracted or some weird
like a lot of noises.
Signal.
We've had some bad connections.
Bad connections, I guess.
Is that what happens, though, with rain?
I guess.
You'd think we'd be past that.
Yeah.
Rain. Now, this is some... Yeah, substantial rain, I guess.
I mean, think of it this way. The rain affects the human body, right? I mean, the human, like, you're
I think the barometric pressure.
Well, that's what I'm, well, it's, yeah, the whole interconnected. I'm not saying I'm an expert. I'm just saying, you know, there's an effect on the body, and so maybe it affects the phone lines also. All right, so Paul Charchin is with us, of course, from GuillotineLeagues.com. What's going on, Paul?
I am, in fact, here. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Sorry about that.
Hello, Paul. All good.
Yeah. Good to talk to you.
Paul, let me ask you a question because, you know, tonight Atlanta is going to be playing Carolina. There's a lot of aspects of that game to get to and all the other games, fantasy football-wise. Do you think if Matt Ryan tells Todd Gurley this week, don't go in the end zone, and tells him two times in the huddle and looks him directly in the eye when he says it, you think Todd Gurley's going to go in the end zone?
I'm guessing not this time. I mean, but talk about inventing ways to lose. I mean, you can write a book on what the Falcons are doing this year.
Incredible.
In crazy ways to lose. Like, all you have to do is lie down. Get your first down and then just lay down. And Todd Gurley couldn't do it.
No.
Couldn't stop himself.
And video came out yesterday of Matt Ryan looking directly at him and saying, don't score.
Yes.
And he scored.
Yes.
Incredible.
Yep. With audio. I mean, you can hear him saying it.
I know.
And he got it. I mean, Ridley acknowledged it. Not Ridley, sorry.
Gurley.
He acknowledged it even.
Incredible.
So, yeah.
All right, Paul, let's get to the week on tap. And, of course, the game tonight, Atlanta and Carolina.
Yeah.
Looks like, again, Christian McCaffrey is going to miss the game. Implication for this game for Carolina and offensive players for Atlanta to look at. What are you looking at?
Yeah, so Mike Davis goes back to the starting role one more time, and this is probably the last time. And they've said he's played so well that he's deserved an ongoing bigger role in the offense, and I think he'll get that, but – once McCaffrey comes back in 10 days, it'll be his job going forward. But great opportunity for Davis. He's sort of run out of gas a little bit the last few weeks. But, guys, the Falcons give up so much through the air to running backs. Davis is my number 6-ranked running back this week. Atlanta gives up the second most receptions, 6th most receiving yards, and the most receiving touchdowns to running backs. And that's Carolina's bit with their running game, their running backs. They throw the ball. So Davis sitting on potentially a really nice game. And how about Teddy Bridgewater? Is, you know, the ultimate game manager. He doesn't bring a lot of athleticism to that position, but he's been good. And here's Atlanta giving up the most passing touchdowns so far this year, the second most passing yards. You could have one of these rare explosive games from Teddy Bridgewater and maybe even Robbie Anderson, one of the great finds of this year.
Robbie Anderson's real. Hey, so
he is.
The Falcons offense, so much talent, but it seems like this Panthers defense can stymie some folks. Is it a trap fantasy game for those Falcons big name players?
You know, it might be. You know, it's funny what happens. So the Panthers secondary is improved, but really it's the run defense is so bad that a lot of times the passing game just doesn't end up filling a box score because it doesn't have to. You know, John, they're giving up barely one passing touchdown a game,
That's
but because
amazing.
They're the worst run defense, teams just don't bother running the ball or passing the ball very much against Carolina. Mm-hmm. So Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, on paper, it's a pretty good matchup, but if a lot of times, in fact, when these teams met 3 weeks ago, zero passing touchdowns. Now, Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley were hurt for that game, and that's part of it, but still, that's it shows you that a lot of times it feels like a better matchup on paper, and I still start all three of those guys, Ryan, Jones, Ridley, but maybe they just end up running their way to victory like a lot of teams do against the Panthers.
Paul, Dallas, some really good receivers, as we know. Of course, you're going to start Amari Cooper, but a guy like CeeDee Lamb, a guy like Michael Gallup, if Dallas is with their third-string quarterback, do Lamb and Gallup become players you sit?
I don't even know if you can start Cooper. I mean, CeeDee Lamb had been more bankable than even Cooper had been. And Cooper posted, you know, big game, bad game, big game, bad game, which had been his cadence for most of his career anyway. So it's pretty tricky at this point. Ben DiNucci under center, if everything holds, and that's probably going to be the case here. You know, I think the Philadelphia secondary has gotten a lot better, giving up 151 yards per game to receivers. That's an improvement from where we were before. And Darius Slay is working out pretty well. And Slay likely gets a lot of time with Amari Cooper in this one. So I'm off all of them. I don't like any of the Dallas receivers in this matchup. Hey, speaking of this matchup and the word Dallas, does Dallas Goedert come back? He practiced yesterday. I saw a video of him practicing. He looked like he was fine. Didn't seem to be laboring at all. Do you think he goes in this one? And if so, he's available in a lot of leagues.
Well,
this
is an automatic pickup, right? The simple answer, this is the Eagles, so he'll probably next play in 2022. Now, the more simple answer is we don't know, but it's one of those, you know, if he goes, you start him because he'll play a ton if he plays.
I can't believe Dallas Goedert is available in leagues. Dallas Goedert is a revelation, and he is the future here. He is the superior tight end between Zach Ertz.
Wow.
I mean, between the two of them. And he's awesome.
And he'll be back
if he's available, everyone pick him up.
And, Paul, he'll be back way before Ertz. So even if he should not be available in any league.
I'm looking at one of my leagues available right now.
I'm dropping
Devin Singletary for him as we're talking.
Get him. Yep. He might win a league for people. So Zeke Elliott last couple weeks has been awful, even for fantasy purposes. Is there concern there? I mean, should people consider trying to trade Zeke Elliott off their fantasy team?
The appropriate level of concern for Ezekiel Elliott is a bowel-loosening level of existential dread.
Wow.
Listen to some of the stats I'm going to give you on Zeke so that we can frame it up. You can look at him and it's not the same. But let's frame it up a little bit. 5 fumbles, worst among all running backs this year. 4 drop passes, tied for the most among all running backs. 2 of his drops resulted in interceptions, worst among all running backs. In pass protection, he's allowed 7 quarterback hits, worst among all running backs, averaging less than 2 yards after contact, way down from where he normally is, closer to 4 yards. Get this, his snap count the last 2 weeks has dropped massively. Normally he's an 80% snap count guy. He's down into the 60s. Tony Pollard is getting more run. Declining yards per carry in 3 straight games. All of this for Ezekiel Elliott, who has been as bankable as any running back over the past 3 years.
Yeah.
I believe you want to get out now. Trade him while he still has all the name cachet and people don't realize how badly he's playing in this offense.
So does that mean people should try to get into Tony Pollard?
Go pick up Tony Pollard. I mean, I can't see where they're going to bench Zeke outright, but Pollard is tangibly better right now than Ezekiel Elliott, and they're starting to shift that way. Desperate teams do desperate things, and one of them may be just trying to get the best running back on the field, and it might be Tony Pollard right now.
Wow.
Well, Paul Charchin with this from GuillotineLeagues.com. Paul, Cam Newton in New England. It's getting shaky up there. Do you start him? What do you do?
You may not even be able to roster Cam Newton right now. I'm looking at his passing numbers, and I know a lot of what you get out of Cam is you're trying to get rushing numbers anyway. But just for a moment, let's concentrate on Cam's arm. His passing numbers are so bad. I'm trying to find comparables to give for Cam Newton's passing this year. I got to go back to, if you remember, Jamarcus Purple Drank Russell. You remember him biggest, worst first overall picks in the history of the NFL? Cam Newton this year compares unfavorably to Jamarcus Russell's career. Cam is throwing 50% fewer touchdowns and 50% more interceptions than Jamarcus Russell and only 193 passing yards per game. It's a disaster, and his running's way down too. His running has been cut in half since week two. He's only scored one touchdown in the past three games. You can't even count on rushing from Cam right now. I wouldn't blame anybody who drops him outright.
Wow. So then what about the receivers there? Certainly similar level of worry, but Julian Edelman, yeah. Is he no longer viable either?
So Edelman hasn't scored at all this year. His average game over the last month, this is Julian Edelman. It's like so bankable for seven catches, yes, and 70 yards every week in the past. Two catches for 19 yards over the last month of games. This is the last week to possibly start him. He goes to Buffalo. Buffalo's got one great cornerback, Tre'Davious White, but he plays on the outside. Mm-hmm. Julian Edelman's going to run from the slot against Taron Johnson, who's graded 103rd in coverage among corners by Pro Football Focus. This is your last chance to start Edelman. If you're not going to start Edelman here, you can just drop him out. Right?
Paul, a couple weeks ago, I asked you about Carson Wentz and asked you if he was startable, and you said no. He's had two really good fantasy weeks in a row. Is he now startable?
He's so plucky, and I know he's taken a lot of abuse there in town. It's just, how do you not love the heart that he brings? I mean, if my guy for my team, Kirk Cousins, had half of the heart that Carson Wentz has and just desired to win, he'd be a Super Bowl-level quarterback. And now we look at all the players that are returning to this offense, Goddard and Rager, and soon maybe Alshon Jeffrey. So, yeah, I think it's a great time to buy on Carson Wentz because you get the feeling that finally getting all these important assets back for him. So I'm buying on Wentz. You guys see it any differently than that?
Yeah, because Tim Tebow at heart. And it doesn't mean I want him to be my quarterback.
Well, that's true. But
you understand what I just did right there? You understand?
Horrible. You should have kicked off the radio for that.
Seriously.
Comment.
That's messed up.
He's better than Tim Tebow, but you know
so
what?
So messed up.
But you know what, Paul? He ain't accurate enough. Listen, maybe with all the running and the running touchdowns, he is a fantasy starter. That's possible because he's running around a lot. And he does have a tremendous heart and will to win. But, Paul, when you watch him game in and game out, play in and play out, man, There's a lot that's not there still.
So. There's four or five passes every game that you just cringe. Yeah. And you go, how is my quarterback throwing that pass?
Correct.
But he scraps his way to good box scores. And even, I think, not a ton of wins this year, two wins and a tie.
Right.
But he keeps his team competitive. And look at he's run the gauntlet of these really tough defenses, San Francisco, Pittsburgh, Baltimore. I think the rest of the way that he's going to be much more bankable and more reliable. And I'm back. I'm buying low on Carson Wentz.
Paul, what do you got for some specials and opportunities this week with guillotineleagues.com?
We are still forming new guillotine leagues. Again, the premise here is every week the low-scoring team gets cut from the league and all their players go to the waiver wire, where it's pandemonium for the rest of us as we're bidding on a whole draft's worth of players. All you have to do is be the last team standing, never be last. So you can continue to play Guillotine Leagues at guillotineleagues.com and all my player rankings available for free.
All right, Paul. Wonderful stuff. Again, as always, guillotineleagues.com. Thanks so much, Paul.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you in a week.
All right, there he is. It's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia. Geota Cameron, John Ritchie from the Tasty Cake Studio. Was that not right on the Carson Tebow?
It's horrible. That was embarrassing.
That was embarrassing?
Yeah.
No, you should be ashamed.
You should be ashamed. That is the – in fact –
Shame.
Well, I'll just say this.
I mean, you actually
well-deserved shame bell there.
The fact that you said that, I mean, that does. It gives us a little peek inside
your
soul.
Hey, let me tell you something. The cowardly lion at the end of The Wizard of Oz, he's got heart at the end of the movie. Doesn't mean I want him to be my quarterback. Now, Carson's playing better. I want to be clear. He is absolutely playing better, and I have tremendous admiration with how hard he plays. And the things that he can do sometimes that are special are really special. But the simple things, the ordinary things, the times when he doesn't do those things. He's
like stand in the pocket when there is none?
He's the shortstop that can make the amazing play in the hole but will boot 29 routine ground balls a year. He's that guy. Don't boot 29
routine
ground
balls. You know who was kind of like that guy
Who's
at
that?
Times?
Who?
Brett Favre.
John, it's not even in the same
That's
universe.
Closer than the Tim Tebow analogy.
I agree with Richie. It's way close, like a million times closer.
All right, let's go to the phones and talk to Tim in South Philadelphia. Hey, Tim.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing well, Tim.
Hey, I've been listening for the past like 2 days, John, and like I don't understand. Like I'm with you as far as the Eagles, like we're a long ways off and, you know, we're nowhere where we want to be. But, like, you keep using the analogy that, you know, Evan Engram catches that pass. We're one pass away from being at the bottom of the division. But at the same time, like, if you're going to use that analogy, I agree. But at the same time, every time somebody brings up that, you know, the Eagles are one play off from being – you know, having a few more wins last year and a couple wins this year, you shut it down.
Oh, and, I know what you're talking about.
Like,
Tim.
Like how well, can you?
You're talking about you're talking about Alshon dropping a pass. Lead no. like every. I
well,
object to
thing.
Everyone saying we would have won the NFC Championship had Alshon
well,
not dropped a pass.
I think they would have won the game.
I agree. I don't sit there and act like I can predict the future. I'm not even talking about that game. I'm talking about Nelson Aguilar last year dropping that pass against Atlanta. We would have won that game. You know, the game against Miami, another drop pass. This year, Hightower drops a pass. You could say that we could have snuck by, and even though they might have played down in the second half, but we could have squeaked out a win against, you know, Baltimore. And if we don't miss a kick here and there, we could have beat Pittsburgh. Like if you use one analogy to say that we're a play away from being at the bottom, you could use the same to say that, you
I
know.
I can't say we are one play away from being a good team.
But in a lot of games, well, I'm not saying a good team and where we want to be, but I mean, it's a lot better.
Well, Tim, I don't think it's so much true this year. I think other years there's more games that hung in the balance. Like the one this year would be the 2-point conversion versus Baltimore. Yes, had they gotten it, now you're in overtime. So that one I'll buy. But the other games,
But he also missed a field goal in that game also.
No,
like,
you're right.
Mean, say that. We don't even need a 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I got you. I mean, you can make the case had the interception not happened in the end of the first half of the Washington game week one when the Eagles led 17-0. If that one play hadn't happened, that the Eagles probably win the game.
So, Tim, you're saying that you feel like – I don't understand – what you're getting at, like in the grand scheme of things.
He's saying he wants you to call
you
it straight.
Feel
he wants
like,
you to he wants you to be
right.
consistent.
I am calling it straight.
Listen,
and I'm being consistent. This team is not good.
Listen, I'm not saying at this moment we're not a good football team, but at the same time, like we're depleted. Like a lot of people are hurt. I mean, just for instance, even though, you know, it's a close game last week. The first drive that Deshaun was in, I mean, the offense looked completely different. That's with just one player back. I'm not, and right now we're dealing with a bunch of practice squad players. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
but
we're
not getting Deshaun back.
I know, but we're getting Dallas Goedert back.
All right,
we're
Tim,
and that'll help.
Back. We're getting Rager back.
Tim, give me who's the third guy?
The Rager thing. I'm not convinced.
I'm going off of. I'm gonna say the third story in the New Testament Bible, Luke.
Okay. Third guy, Luke. Fair enough. A lot of really big answers still available for who's the third guy. We'll get into that more up ahead. Also, let me tell you this. Pizzadelphia 3, the takeout tour presented by Gerhard's Appliances, is happening. That's right, John. Pizzadelphia is back. We love Pizzadelphia. Now, different this year, of course. It's not a festival like past years. But there are still incredible opportunities to have amazing, amazing, amazing pizza in the coming weeks. Tickets go on sale November 9th. So, yes, we can't do a Pizzadelphia festival this year. So we're bringing the pizza to you. Every week, a ticket will go on sale that will get you a full-size pizza from five different great Philly pizzerias for just $25. Yes, that means a pizza for $5 on average. Remarkable. 4 weeks, four different tickets, five pizzerias each week. A great deal. See all the pizzerias and sign up for pre-sale access at PizzaDelphiaFest.com. Again, that's PizzaDelphiaFest.com. Brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers, T-Mobile, and Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. 215-592-9494. At 1:30, another chance for you to win the Nest Audio from Google. We'll get to that and more up ahead. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase five quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.